Blog Talk Radio. Assalamu alaikum, Ehal Ete Washita East, Peace and Shalom alaikum. This is Staying Spiritually Centered with Chiefess Kehlani. I am Chiefess Kehlani, High Priestess after the Indigenous Cosmic Golden Ray Order of Melchizedek and Grand High Priestess of the Temple of Dendera. I'm celebrating this weekend, celebrating 7 years of continuous Reiki practicing mastership. I'm a certified pranic healer. Goodness. I'm a certified pranic healer and pranayama yoga instructor. I teach transcendental, guided, and general meditation. I offer consultations in the form of aura, chakra, chi, kundalini, totem, numerology, and Akashic record readings. So the information that I will be sharing with you tonight is coming from firsthand study, my investigations, personal research, and many years of interacting with people who have requested my assistance in clearing out their energy meridians from past trauma. With the various different spiritual healing sessions and readings that I offer, which you can check out at www.yabuzagardens.com. That is Y-A-B as in boy, U-Z as in zebra, A-G as in gardens, ardens.com. That's www.yabuzagardens.com for more info. However, tonight we are talking about abusive relationships and their effects on the aura, chakra, and the chi. First, we have to define what abuse is. The abuse is defined as engaging in or characterized by habitual violence and cruelty. Habitual violence and cruelty. And examples of abuse from one person to another are things like lying, cheating, which is also can be categorized as non-consensual partnership by both parties. In a polygamous relationship, meaning you're allowing more people into the relationship that not both you and your main partner has agreed upon. Other examples of abuse are physical, emotional, spiritual, or intellectual violence, non-consensual sexual relations, non-consensual financial control that is not mutual, one person having all the power, and the other just having to deal with whatever the other person that's in control says they can have or cannot have or however they can spend their money. So non-consensual financial control that is not mutual. Unhealthy use of drugs, either in trying to get the other partner to deal with drugs in a way that is not healthy for one or both parties within the relationship. Intentional manipulation is another example of abuse from one person to another, in which there's manipulative communications that puts another or puts itself at a disadvantage. Concealment of true identity, you know, faking the funk, pretending to be one person when you're truly something else. Also, intentional breaking of natural, moral, and spiritual laws for personal gain at the expense of another. These are all examples of abuse from one person to another. Now, to define what an abusive relationship is, this would be a pattern of abusive, coercive behaviors used to maintain power and control over another person or people. This is what an abusive relationship is. The most influential and long-lasting abusive relationship that I've seen that had a tremendously negative effect on the aura, the chakras, and the chi are the abusive relationships that parents have with their children. This is important to be aware of because the root chakra is developed during the first 7 years of life. The root chakra is developed during the first 7 years of life. And of all the abusive relationships, the foundational bond that mother and father have with their child, as well as a relationship that exists between the mother and the father during conception on up to the first 7 years of life, tends to, for better or worse, lay the groundwork for either a healthy or unhealthy sense of self for the child. So the root chakra is activated immediately after we incarnate into the flesh, with the most influential moments being the first few moments of life, as well as between the ages of 3 and 5. Those are the pinnacle moments of development for the root chakra. And its main function is to keep us alive, which is why the chakra is associated with the adrenal glands and basic instincts such as eating, drinking, sleeping, sex, self-preservation, shelter, and procreation. Our sense of right and wrong is housed here in the root chakra, which indicates why most abusers are people who have already experienced trauma themselves and have a distorted sense of right and wrong, along with an accompanying low self-esteem themselves. Now, this brings us to the aura of the abuser as well as the abused. Your aura is the etheric energy that both surrounds your physical body while also being an extension of your true self. It can offer protection, information, as well as share energy with others. However, abusers hold a lot of negative energy, coldness, and blockages in their aura that opens them up to negative energy possession. Because they're so focused on trying to dominate someone else that they actually aren't purifying their aura. They're not using it in a way that would protect them from negative forces. They're trying so hard to be dominant towards another person. So they're actually taxing their own energy reserves by being so forceful. And an example of this is the aura of the other woman who is knowingly the other woman. This is, you know, the aura of the other woman who knows she is slipping and sliding with another woman's husband. Her aura is much like that of a succubus in that she pulls energy in from everywhere outside of her. And this is something that has to be cleared up, because this is setting up negative, a negative karmic balance, because it's, you know, you have to set a balance between giving and receiving. And if you're constantly sucking energy from places that you shouldn't, you know, then it's going to set up an imbalance in your life where instead of giving, you're constantly forcing, you know, external energy to come to you that doesn't belong to you. So this is the aura of the other woman. And I've seen also the aura of an abuser, which is even more parasitic, until they choose to correct themselves or get help, because they can actually latch onto specific energy centers of their victim and refuse to let go. There's actually a mudra, which is basically like a hand sign that helps to, if you sit in this position for an extended period of time and do your pranic breathing at the same time, it helps to close up the holes within your aura, and it also helps to detach, you know, from, like, it's almost like parasitic snakes that comes from an abuser to their victim. It just sucks them dry. So then also the person who is being abused, the person that's being abused has an aura that is easily penetrated. It does not stand up to invasion and may also have a lot of holes. This is similar to a weakened immune system, which can't fight off disease. Now, the root chakra of an abused person is similar. The root chakra is similar to their aura. Since their aura has it's weakened and easily penetrated with several holes in it where energy is just floating on out instead of being contained, the aura is in that manner, whereas the root chakra, positive self-serving ability to ensure that the victim in this situation is receiving what he or she needs and requires to feel alive. And this brings us to our next key point about how abusive relationships affect the chi. I've seen how victims of abuse have different areas of their life almost shut down because when you're suffering from physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual abuse, the chronic trauma causes abruptions and interruptions in the chi flow. Interruptions in the chi flow causes depression of the etherical energy network within the person that's suffering from abuse. So we're talking not only inside the body where you have, you know, the main chi meridians, and you have, you know, all these chakra points, the major seven, as well as the ones that are extending up towards the heavens, and also the minor chakras that are along the vascular system, which is very similar to the chi flow or the chi system. Interruptions in the chi flow, again, cause a depression of the etherical energy network within the person. So you combine that with an already dysfunctional root chakra, and what will eventually manifest is financial problems on top of a low and falling self-esteem, lack of self-confidence, and horrendous inner self-talk that features the endless thoughts related to I can't, I'm not good enough, nobody loves me, nobody likes me. All these are thoughts that begin to invade the space of a person who is enduring abuse. So in turn, all actions that this person eventually takes will in some way have a self-sabotage effect because at this point, due to the abuse, the victim of abuse has lost faith in themselves as well as the Most High's ability to bring them out of it. And what happens is they begin to turn on themselves, usually without realizing it, and generally under the mask of self-preservation or under the banner of nobody's ever going to hurt me again. Nobody's ever going to hurt me again. This is what a person will do to themselves unknowingly or involuntarily, you know, and in this idea that they're going to protect themselves from ever feeling pain again. Now, how does this affect your finances? Well, to sum up everything about the root chakra, it houses our value system, negative or positive. This is how we feel about ourselves. This is housed in your root chakra. The chi brings life force energy through the chakras, which helps to manifest what is occurring within the chakras to manifest into the physical reality. Again, the chi, your chi, brings life force energy through the chakras, which helps to manifest what is occurring within the chakras to manifest into the physical realm. Now, if you have a negative sense of self that is not working towards self-preservation, your chakra is not working towards self-preservation, which is the job of the root chakra, and you are chronically devalued and negative, abusive inner talk constantly runs through your mind, then this lack of faith within yourself is going to show up within your money flow because you are constantly, though potentially involuntarily, soaking your chi in negativity. So if the flow of your thoughts is constantly negative, that's, you know, that's add a negative sign in front of your money flow. If you're soaking your chi in negativity, with your thoughts you begin to command lack, disappointment, frustration, and more negativity simply because this is your value system. This is your inner self-talk, that you're not worthy, so you are guaranteeing worthlessness to show up in one of the main areas that the root chakra governs, which is your survival, making sure that your needs are met. You're saying that, you know, it's okay for my needs not to be met. So if you continue to allow yourself to be abused and you allow another person's limited beliefs of you to invade your space and dominate how you feel about yourself, then expect limitations in your finances. Again, if you allow someone else's limited beliefs of you in your entirety, who you are as a person, if you allow that to invade your personal mental space and dominate how you feel about yourself, then expect limitations in your finances, because your value system, your inner economy, your inner spiritual economy, the way that you manage your own energy is working against yourself. So this is where the self-sabotage comes into play. Cat Williams has a joke about self-esteem, where essentially it's saying, how can you let someone else outside of you mess up how you feel about you? Self-esteem is esteem of yourself. So we have to manage our emotions, how we feel about ourselves, so that others don't have this controlling lordship over us about how we feel about ourselves. So also in this, speaking about your root chakra, say, you know, this has to do with your value system, and if you're enduring abuse, then it messes up, it has a way of messing up your financial flow. So in this sense, having a J-O-B, having a job, does not amount to much when your inner value system dishonors the divine within and without. Your inner divinity and your connection to the divine of the cosmos, of the universe. Karmic debts rack up real fast when you begin to turn on yourself. I've had people come to me who had survived abuse in its many forms, and remove themselves from the abusive conditions and ask why now, after all of that effort of removing themselves, why is it that they still haven't found Mr. or Mrs. Right? And after reading their heart chakra, the reason is very simple. In an effort to prevent abuse from happening again, they've hidden their heart away so that no one can get to it. And when I say hidden, I'm talking deep within their chest. And this is something that I've had to help several people through that have endured abusive relationships, whether they were cheated on, lied to, you know, heartbroken, heart shattered, heart incinerated, heart stomped on. You know, what ends up happening for a lot of folks is that they bury their heart because they don't want to feel that again. And who would? Who would want to volunteer for something like that? So because the experience of negative past relationships seemed to have guaranteed that it definitely would happen again, no matter how many times they claimed that they wanted real love, or that they had opened themselves up to it, they indeed had not. And this belief that I want to be in love and I want to experience it, but I'm not open to being vulnerable, this is what will create more problems. And this is just another aspect of continued self-abuse when you do not open yourself to the fullness that could be a genuine relationship. Under the illusion of self-protection, because there's a difference, you have to understand that there's a difference between guarding your heart and hiding your heart. These are two different things. Guarding your heart and hiding your heart so that no one can get to it, not even you. This is also an example of a once underactive and dysfunctional root chakra, again, now getting kicked up and going into overdrive in its overactive dysfunctionality now, because there's this I'm going to get mine and F the world mentality that creates such an imbalance that the victim, or the person that is enduring or suffering from abuse, who once wouldn't defend themselves, is now so hyper-defensive that they are now overly involved in lower self-activity. This is lower self-activity of seeking to gain without being willing to fully give because they've tucked away their heart on top of walking into the next relationship heavily guarded. This is an issue. But this person, those people who've endured this, that go this route, and they're thinking at that point is that they never want to feel the pain of abuse ever again, so they wish away their capacity to feel, and their heart retreats into their chest, so they shut down their full capacity to feel with their heart. This, you know, the information that you get from the heart chakra is very pure. How you feel, this stunts your growth, you know, because we don't stop growing, you know, at 18 years of age. You continue growing. The chakras each have rounds in which they grow. So in shutting down the heart chakra, shutting down the full capacity to feel, and also shutting down the capacity to offer love that could potentially solidify a new, loving, mutually nurturing relationship. And I've seen this more than once, more than twice, more than three times, because this is a common defense in feeling that, you know, you're going to continue, you know, you have your heart there, but you don't feel as much. You don't feel as much because you're still maybe even numb, in a sense, from having felt so much pain, but still demand, you know, and turn into this, unfortunately, this sense of entitlement that, you know, the world has to present a lover to you that's only going to love you, that you don't have to, you know, return love to because you're too afraid to feel vulnerable. So, and this is, again, not all, but a lot of folks go this route. How do we combat this? My advice: when the sufferer of abuse moves from being oppressed or depressed to fully expressing the divine sacredness and purity within, then they can reconnect to the all divine, which is everywhere. So, you know, you have to move from being oppressed and depressed to fully expressing the divine sacredness and purity within. And you have to reconnect with the all divine that is everywhere. When the sufferer of abuse moves from feeling victimized, then they can again feel and identify with being a victorious person and activate their ability to be pleased with the divine in all things and to, inshallah, to hope that the divine is pleased with them as well. If you're a victim of abuse, you have to relearn to not only trust yourself again after enduring, you know, any type of abuse. You have to learn how to trust yourself again, but you must also learn to trust that the divine is the best of planners and that everything that comes from the divine is not only good, but for the best interest of your soul progression. Some of us have negative karma that we have from past lives that we have to pay in this life. Interacting with others in a healthy way is a talent that takes intention to develop. But you must first learn to develop a healthy inner relationship with yourself that envelopes a strong connection to the Creator. Abusive relationships stem from self-abuse. Your aura, your chakras, and your chi have got to be open to this experience at the onset of beginning this relationship. And, you know, relationships tend not to begin hateful, resentful, and frustrating, because you wouldn't go for that person. But, you know, your aura, again, your aura, your chakra, and your chi have to already be open to this. With the situation with the parents, enduring abuse or already having a negative sense of self, usually people walk into relationships that will eventually become abusive because, you know, they're looking for this other person to fulfill you in a way that only the divine can. You know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and a lot of folks have the American sense of love, in which another person will complete you and be the answer for everything. And that's not, you know, you have other forms of love. You have the love that you can experience with your mate that, you know, and even on a twin flame level where you really are just made for each other. But even then, your relationship, you know, the in the Bible it says, and even in the Quran, that, you know, we were made in pairs. So you do have a divine other. But to get to that level, you have to learn some spiritual lessons, and you have to have a core that only houses the divine and your connection to it. So abusive relationships, again, stem from self-abuse. And self-abuse stems from a lack of self-knowledge. A lack of self-knowledge arises from a lack of commune and connection with the all-divine. This is why our Kemetic ancestors said, "Know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe and God." This is why years and years of counseling with the therapist and psychologist and psychiatrist and reading loads of self-help books, all kinds of money, you know, even for some of us reaching a level of celebrity, receiving all kinds of awards and, you know, having endless accomplishments, and trying to start fresh will only take you to a certain level. But there's a glass ceiling there with each of those methods, which is why you have to try so much. But until you correct and purify your relationship with the divine, your sense and knowledge of self will forever be limited. And activating your full potential is just a dream. And having negative demonic forces in your life will be something that is just common. And allowing them to run your life and control you, that'll be something that'll be, you know, just normal for you because you haven't purified your life, your karma, your mind, and your heart, and all your chakras and all your chi, your entire being, with the remembrance of the divine within and without, with your actions, with your words and deeds, as well as your intentional interactions with others, along with how you allow others to interact with you. And this brings us to our next point about the navel chakra. In a nutshell, the navel chakra houses the energy of the type of relationships we can have. This area allows for flow and flexibility for our relationships with others. It allows for increased vitality and creativity, our creative movement through life experiences, being able to bounce back, as well as our sensuality and sexuality. The navel chakra is just above the root chakra. So the navel chakra is built upon our sense of security, self-confidence, and self-esteem, which is all energy that moves up into our navel chakra from the root chakra to be projected out into the world like a broadcast in the unseen. This energy is not only broadcasting how you feel about yourself, but it also magnetizes and connects and links up to others who will treat you according to the messages you broadcast into the unseen. You know, people get a vibe for how you feel and how you are, and, you know, also the thoughts that you have constantly going through your mind, eventually they're going to spill out. You know, you're going to speak different things and people are going to catch on to this. But then also there is a lot going on in the unseen with your root chakra and your navel chakra projecting out these messages. In this area, I can affirm that depressed people attract other depressed people into their lives. Those who are insecure with a low self-esteem will inevitably attract someone in like kind, while at the same time providing valuable lessons that will, if utilized correctly and wisely, you know, these types of interactions or relationships with people can actually help to bring you back into balance. Birds of a feather flock together. as well as birds of accommodating feathers, you know, for better or for worse. So, you know, it's best to, and it's better to improve your broadcast of your self-awareness about yourself than to continue to experience some of the worst things that life can offer and end up even more damaged. So the type of person that you are is not only going to attract someone that's just like you, but that, you know, this person is also going to have certain advances that you might not have that will help you to understand, you know, this is a very, very hard lesson to learn for a lot of us that endure abuse. But it is hopefully something, you know, you get something from it. The point of improvement here is to begin to enrich your relationship with the divine by increasing your communion, your devotion, and by living according to natural law, and by increasing your invocation to the Most High for all of your wants, needs, and desires. And in connection with this, indigenous spirituality demands that you honor your ancestors as well. Moving on into the solar plexus, it's greatly weakened because the victim is used to being overpowered and dominated instead of being able to confidently express themselves. Since the victim is used to the abuse and tends not to feel empowered enough to demonstrate their will, and this is why eradicating, you know, ending, and freeing ourselves from abuse, from abusive relationships, this is why it feels so good, because you're finally using your will again. And without, you know, the negative person or people constantly beating you down, you now can breathe fresh air again. It feels like freedom. So while enduring trauma, the will gets backed up. But this chakra is different from the others, because instead of suffering a blockage, the solar plexus actually just diminishes. This is what I've seen over the past several years. This is why those who are severely abused appear to be so docile, because you cannot appear powerful or take advantage of opportunities that would be empowering if your solar plexus chakra is out of balance. The all willing divine has gifted us with a tool within the solar plexus chakra, which is the ability to be in alignment with the divine with all of our actions, deeds, and words, with what we choose to participate in. Now, this is the second stage of getting back to your sacred center, because we're not just going to talk about the problems and issues, we're also going to continue to discuss the solutions to this. Second stage of getting back to your center. The first stage is cleaning up that root chakra and improving your self-esteem and self-confidence, esteeming in yourself and growing the value system that you have towards you. The second stage of getting back to your sacred center, by demonstrating your will in alignment with the Most High, is to begin to remove yourself from the situation enough to be able to live the light and accomplish the holy mission that you were incarnated in the flesh with. You know, an abusive relationship is a mighty distraction from what you are actually supposed to be doing. You know, we weren't made to have people lord over us. You know, you only have one lord. And the confusion there, and allowing a person to make you so fearful, is really something that distracts you from your connection to the divine. Now, it's true that the solar plex is of the lower self. However, it is the highest of the three chakras that relate to the lower self, and it's the one closest to the heart. And the heart is the seat of the divine within us. Now, both of the chakras immediately above and below the heart have to do with manifestation, and both are tremendously damaged from suffering from the spiritual disorder of being victimized by abuse. You know, if you're being victimized by abuse, it is not only your abuser that has to get right spiritually, but it's also you yourself. Because, you know, the aura is not being, it's not taking on a protective nature. The chakras are being, you know, rapidly put out of balance. I've seen root chakras and navel chakras, which have to do with your relationships, that were on top of each other. They weren't even where they were supposed to be within the person. The one that I'm talking about, she had endured lots of emotional abuse, psychological abuse, and physical abuse from her mate. And, you know, they didn't have any children together. She was very young. And, you know, she was constantly supplying him with funds and all. And the way, you know, how this translates of having your root chakra on top or your navel chakra on top of your root chakra, what that means is that this person has been so abused that the way that she even viewed herself was by what he said to her. You know, whatever he said was basically in her mind, unfortunately, and maybe probably involuntarily, was basically as good as the word of the Most High. You know, every time he called her a nasty name, every time he called her out her name, every time he cheated on her, and every time, you know, he would be violent, physically violent with her, you know, she took it as this is something that she deserved, you know, and everything that he said was basically correct, and, you know, it shut down her sense of self as something that was separate from him. Now, to continue, both of the chakras, again, immediately above and below the heart, has to do with manifestation. That was the point. And both are tremendously damaged from suffering from the spiritual disorder of being victimized by abuse. So again, you know, being victimized by abuse is a spiritual disorder. I'm talking about the solar plexus and the throat chakra. These are the chakras immediately above and below the heart chakra. While the solar plexus houses, which should house, an unrelenting force that is required for each of us to manifest our destiny, the throat chakra is designed to use the power of our words to communicate and manifest our desires and work into the physical realm. Within my investigations and research, I've learned and I've teach my students that spirituality, spiritually in the sense that you have different dimensions of how things come into being, where you have at the zero dimension, this is with the all divine, where everything begins, within the divine, as being something inseparable from the divine. That's the zero dimension. The first dimension is thought, an idea of, you know, the conception, the mental conception of thinking about something that you want to bring into existence. The second dimension is speech. So the zero dimension is with the all divine. Nothing is separate from the divine. The first dimension is thought. The second dimension is speech, speaking about it, talking about it, you know, getting people to support you, and just communicating, thinking about it out loud and having it evolve from the zero dimension with all divine, the first dimension of thinking about it, and the second dimension of speaking it. You know, it still doesn't have a form. The third dimension is form. A sufferer of abuse. Now, this is how I'm explaining that to show how things come into manifestation spiritually before it manifests physically. You have some stages before physical manifestation, that involve a lot of spiritual energy flowing down so that it can take a solid form. So the sufferer of abuse begins to have problems demonstrating their will and manifesting ideas into forms due to, firstly, the dysfunctional root chakra, which ceaselessly generates negative self-imagery and abusive self-talk instead of generating unbreakable confidence. There's not too much you can do without a healthy level of confidence within yourself. There's also not much you'll allow yourself to do if you have a low self-esteem and haven't rebuilt a core that is based on constant communion with the divine. Secondly, the diminished solar plexus. Another reason why people who have endured abuse have problems manifesting what is in their minds. Secondly, is their diminished solar plexus, which houses their will. Again, as spiritual beings having a human existence, you must realign your will with the divine. You have to realign your will with the will of the divine. And ask for divine assistance with all of your endeavors in order to truly be successful. You cannot do anything that the divine does not want you to accomplish. It's not going to happen. And this is a answer for a lot of stagnation within, you know, enduring abuse and freeing yourself immediately from, you know, the individuals or the abusive conditions, but still having issues with your inner self-talk and your inner relationship with yourself to continue the dysfunctional root chakra as well as the diminished solar plexus chakra. These two things decrease the functionality of the throat chakra, which seems to continue to decrease in its power. And this is a unique chakra itself. You know, each of the chakras responds somewhat differently to abuse. And with the throat chakra, this actually does possess the ability to completely vanish. It does. This may decrease in its power, and it may actually even totally vanish because of the person's, you know, the person that's enduring or suffering from abuse or has suffered from abuse may still possess that fear of talking back or of getting into an argument and or not being heard as well as being misunderstood and being punished for it. I've seen a lot of this where the victim of abuse seems to lose their ability to not only speak confidently, but to communicate the truth about themselves at all. I've seen a lot of this where the throat chakra, you know, I'll put my hands around the person's throat chakra, and there will be hardly anything there. That tells you, you know what I mean? I don't have to ask too many questions. I can just, you know, feel around your energy centers to find what's there or what's not there. If it's dysfunctional, if, you know, it's somewhat developed or not developed, if, you know, there's a lot of information, I have to say this, there's a lot of information about, you know, whether the chakra is spinning in one direction or the other. I have not, I'm going to say that I, you know, because I don't want to discredit anyone, but what we should be more concerned about is whether it's functioning and the degree of which it's functioning. The spinning is what, you know, most people, when they come to me about the chakra reading, they're concerned about whether it's spinning and, you know, or all of them are spinning. And they also, what else? They also want to know whether or not, you know, which chakra is the most important chakra. And the answer to that is that all the chakras are heavily important because each of them govern a different area of life. And until each of the chakras are functioning in a balanced way, you know, you'll have situations where the weakest chakra will, you know, not offer energy in the way that it should to the other chakras, and actually, like I just, you know, explained with the throat chakra, make other chakras dysfunctional, because in order for your throat chakra to function correctly, you need a healthy self-esteem. You have to have a good sense of, you know, what relationships are good and healthy for you to be in, how to interact with other people, and, you know, wanting to be nurtured. And if you don't possess that, if you don't have that in the other chakras, then it's going to pull energy away from your throat chakra, because all of that energy, not only does, you know, the energy of your root chakra come out through the navel chakra, but it's the throat chakra that's so important in order for you to manifest what it is that, you know, your vocation is. That's the point of the throat chakra. It has a two-way activity, in that not only do you speak things into existence, but this is also the way into hear divine messages. It's with the throat chakra. Your ears and your throat are connected. And if the throat chakra is, you know, constantly being diminished in the way that you're, now instead of hearing empowering divine messages, you're hearing messages where, you know, you're told about how awful of a person you apparently are, and everything is negating your existence, that chisels away your self-esteem. It chisels away your believing in yourself. And, you know, the chakras, in different ways, as I've explained, begin to shut down. So at this point, I'm going to take a break. And with some of your questions. Just a moment. I'm my destiny. All right, peace, peace, peace. We are back, staying spiritually centered with Chiefess Kehlani. Tonight we're talking about abusive relationships and their effects on the aura chakra and the chi. To call in, if you're listening on the internet, and you'd like to ask a question or make a comment about the topic, please, 626-414-3535. Again, it's 626-414-3535. We have a caller here, number 4425. You are live on the air. Peace.
Hey, how are you, Washita East?
Hey, how are you, Washita East? How are you?
Kwani. Yes, sister. This is Brother Fahim with Leo calling. I've been listening to you. Talked about the chakras and how abusive relationships and how they affect chakras. And you are absolutely correct on all points on that. Dealing with abusive relationships from, especially when you say through childhood, dealing with domestic relationships. Yeah, that can scar a child for life, you know, dealing with not only physical abuse but verbal abuse as well, you know. What the problem is, there are a lot of people that let other people's opinion of them become their own opinion of themselves. And so that's what the opinion of they have of themselves, the opinion of other people. You know, so
right.
That's one big mistake, you know, people make. You know, yes, a lot of people said that, some people said that words, sticks and bones may hurt my bones, but words cannot hurt me. But that's not true all the way. See, that's why they put the S alphabet in front of the word, in front of word. Then it becomes sword. So, you know, it can be cutting also deep inside you, you know. So, yeah, you're actually correct on all that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your support. In relation to, you know, the effects that that abusive relationships have on the children, I did get to speak about a great deal of it. But, you know, the children, have issues with their speaking, with the throat chakra, especially if they're growing up in a situation where mommy and daddy are always constantly bickering and arguing. This is something that is really very much damaging to the children, because instead of having a root chakra that's so secure, they actually feel, you know, lots of insecurities, and not in the way that, you know, an adult feels insecure, and, you know, like some people say, becomes a hater. This is in a sense, is in a deeper sense, in which they trust no one, and they don't feel a trusting sense of their environment, and, you know, this is something that is very, very stressful and weighs a great deal on their adrenal glands. Can potentially cause problems within the endocrine system because, you know, that it's the adrenal glands that secrete that hormone of adrenaline. So if they're growing up in a situation where it's, you know, constant arguing, cussing and fighting, police in and out of the house,
right,
and restraining orders and all that kind of madness, then they don't really trust the environment. So this,
right,
this brings up issues of, you know, trust within themselves, that may have a hard time, they may have a hard time overcoming.
Right.
And, you know, also with that, you know, in a lot of abusive households, it's this thing where you're not allowed to talk about it. So
right,
that's further, that's further issues within the root chakra, because, or in the root chakra and the navel chakra, with relationships, because there's always this, this guard up that, you know, you don't really want to, you know, reveal what's really going on, because in order to do that, you know, it'd be a form of nakedness they could, that they could get punished for. And so this is something that, you know, you're right, with the children, to speak more about that, that, you know, the different developmental stages of the root chakra and the navel chakra. I did mention this briefly, that they do have different rounds of development. You know, the root chakra having its first area of development between the moment of conception on up to the first 7 years of life. But it does have another round of development around age 30. You know, between, you know, the 7 years after age 28. So,
right.
And also, you know, the crown chakra having its development really not until around age 50. And you have some people that can develop that chakra and open it up after after they've, or before age 50, actually. You know, some, early bloomers, where they can actually begin to receive guidance from the divine, from their root chakra,
right?
From their crown chakra. So the root chakra having had, you know, suffered severe trauma from having watched either, you know, whether the boy, whether the child is a boy or a girl, having watched their parent that's, you know, of the same gender, either being the abuser or being the victim, this is something that sets up a lot of future, you know, potential either victimization or being the, you know, further spreading abuse, because a lot of children that endure this do not get the help that they require in order for them to heal from this.
Right.
Because the parents, you know, the parents are, you know, dealing with their own issues, and also because, you know, a lot of people want to keep what goes on at home in the house.
Right.
So in order for people to heal, you know, you can do, there's the self-help, lots of self-help books out there, lots of websites. There's also lots of information within the holy books that help you to gain a better awareness about yourself, because, you know, if the parents are busy arguing, then they're really not giving their child the knowledge of self in order for them to develop the self-esteem that's required for them to, you know, go out and face the world when they hit 18 or 21 or whenever it is. A lot of children, boys and girls, become kind of dependent because they just don't know how to interact in a healthy way with either the same sex or the opposite sex. And this is, you know, for people, not just people that come from a broken home where the parents are divorced. This is from, you know, even people that have, you know, both parents living in the house and, you know, lots of siblings and, you know, may have had it well off financially. There's still, you know, these little issues, you know, these little skeletons in the closet that, you know, folks don't normally want to talk about.
Right.
So in order to activate your chakras, I'm just going to get to, you know, the closing at this point. In order to reactivate your chakras, gain a perspective or, sorry, protective aura, in order to reactivate your chakras and gain a protective aura to empower your chi, you must not neglect your communion with the divine. You must not neglect yourself.
Exactly.
Because if you forget to honor your divine relationship with, you know, the sacredness and divinity that you possess, and also if you neglect the relationship that you have with your divine creator, then it won't be too long before your earthly relationships begin to become dishonorable. And lastly, we must not let other human beings lord over us and or make us more fearful of them than we are of our creator.
Right.
In Islam, you know, it's Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And you're not supposed to fear anything before you fear, you know, your maker. Not supposed to do that. Because now you're setting up a rival with the divine.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons also why, you know, those that endure abusive relationships have lots of stagnation. I mentioned earlier about how, you know, they have trouble manifesting into the physical. And the reason is because you're in a relationship that's not, you know, promoting the divine within. It's not reminding you of your own sacredness, of your own purity.
No, because they're constantly at war with themselves.
Right.
Not only making an enemy of the divine, making an enemy within yourself. You know, as they say, when I used to go to the Rosicrucian lodges, and they used to say, and the Temple of Delphi, it says, "Know thyself." You know, you must study self and know yourself, but before you study and know the world, and then even study and know God, the God within you. You know, and only there you can attain truth. What they call, most Christians look for a Christ, but they contain the true Christ within themselves. You know, what true Christ is, what?
Right.
What exactly what true Christ is that, you know?
Right, yeah. That opens up just even the area of, you know, again, talking about the chakras and the aura specifically, where a person is at war with themselves. And I've seen how people can tear themselves apart, tear themselves apart and have, you know, talking about the negative self-imagery. What I'm talking about is the, you know, that constant I can't, the constant I'm not good enough, and the feeling of lack that will show up in your finances. I had the question come to me last week about something that I said on last week's show, about how abusive relationships really can affect your finances in a negative way. So this grew, I got some questions about that came to me, and I had to explain, you know, basically your chi flow, which is your cosmic life force energy, that maneuvers through your chakras, meaning that the energy comes out, you know, from the universe into you. And you also have a built-in system of chi that is empowered, you know, if you practice pranic healing or tai chi or pranayama yoga, you know, the science of the breath, where or even if you're the type of person that's into sports and you, you know, exercise a lot regularly, These are things that will improve your chi. But a depressed person or an L-pressed person kind of tends to have a stagnant chi system. And in regards to someone at war with themselves, I had a client where she had an amazing, her chi system was just outstanding. However, she didn't have any chi going towards or in through her navel chakra, which is about relationships. You know, it wasn't going from the root chakra to the navel chakra, and it was not going from the navel chakra to the solar plexus, which means, and I've never seen this before, the chi flow was still strong in that area. It was, but it was totally diverting itself from relationships. And this is something that she was, I mean, she was very, very gifted. But she had intentionally diverted her chi flow, her life force energy away from relationships because of a past experience that was just not well at all. And I had to, you know, after the reading, I told her, you know, this is something that I've never seen before, and I really think that this is something that you can correct on your own. And I gave her advice on how to do it. And a few weeks later, she came back, and she did. She did, you know, precisely. She followed the advice and did her work. She worked on herself, because I can give you advice, but you have to do the work. She did her work, and when she came back to see me again, that she was running right through where it was supposed to. It wasn't being diverted, you know. So we have to understand that in our desires too, you know, powerful desires, intense desires, you can, especially with your thoughts, any constant thought that is, you know, chronically going through your mind can affect you in a negative sense or in a positive sense. So this is why you have, you know, Buddhists and Zen masters, Sufi masters and practitioners practice the art of not only chanting but zikring and having mantras. Because anything you say to yourself ought to be divine. And this will empower, this will empower your chi flow. This will empower your chakras. This will empower your sense of self. This will really enlarge your core energy source. There's a main meridian that's inside the body that if you are practicing your spirituality, your spiritual practices daily in the morning and in the evening, you know, as I previously suggested, where, you know, we're doing our affirmations in the morning, where we're doing our purifications. I haven't mentioned it on, but I do have just part of the Twitter account where I actually give information throughout the week, because I know we have our Sunday evenings together. But if you want to get more information and just tidbits on how to stay centered throughout your week, Grand High Priestess at Chief Kehlani 777. It's at Chief Kehlani 777. Chief Kehlani 777. I give information throughout the week about how to stay centered. And after enduring abuse is not enough to, you know, go through the psychological therapy or to read the self-help book, because there's, you know, this is just what you can do, what, you know, advice to someone, even a professional, is very good and a healthy step, a healthy move. That's a very healthy move to go and get that kind of help and to help yourself. But you also have to remember that, you know, the thinking that you can only depend on your own wits and your own personal power is really the type of thinking that got you into the situation in the first place. We all have to remember that we have to depend on a higher force that does empower us and does want the best for us and is always working for our best and highest good and knows more about us than we do. You know, the divine is closer to you than your jugular vein in Islam. This is what it said. So to think that, you know, for an abuser to think that they're going to get away with what it is that they're doing. And I know for some people, you know, understanding karma.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in previous times it was like, oh, well, you know, they're going to get it when they die. They're going to burn in hell.
Right.
Burning in hell is something that you can do in the flesh. Okay?
Yes, you can.
And we also talked about last week about how, you know, your karmic answer these days because of, you know, where we are in the cosmos and, you know, the quickening and awakening of people that is happening right now, that this is your karmic debts is, again, something that you will experience within your lifetime, for better or for worse. What you sow is something that you shall reap, not when, you know, not just after you die, or not just at the moment of death. Is everyone's going to die, experience a taste of death, you know, but to actually feel alive and to truly live, you have to empower your chi. You have to be practicing, you know, your techniques of purification daily. You know, there's ways to cleanse the chakras. There's ways to empower the chakras and clear them out. And there are so many different ways to heal from this. But a lot of them depend on your connection to the divine.
That's right.
Now, if there are no more questions, if they're in the queue, you have to press 1 for me to see that your hand is up. Thank you, Brother Fahim.
Right, nobody else out there, huh?
Let me see here. Caller 4759. 4759, you have a question or comment? Peace.
Peace.
Peace. You have a question or a comment?
Can you hear anyone? Let's see.
Okay.
Maybe he doesn't.
All right, then. We thank you for your question. And
thank you, sister. Appreciate you, goddess.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Again, this is Chiefess Kehlani, staying spiritually centered. Abusive relationships and their effects on the chakras and chi, as well as the aura. We begin here next week, staying spiritually centered with Chiefess Kehlani at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We give big thanks, honors, and alhamdulillah for the First World Order Network. Please check out the United Washita, Princess Khadira, and Prince Aleem, Prince Dr. Aleem Bey, at draleemelbay.com. That is draleemelbey.com. We also want to promote tomorrow. The princess and I will be on giving you information and updates about the United Washita. Things that are going on. Recap of last week's shows as well as upcoming shows for this week. And we have our Melanin Conference coming up on the weekend of March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. You can check out the website, draleemelbay.com, to find out more information about that. To find out more information about me, you can go to www.yabuzagardens.com. That's www.yabuzagardens.com, yabuzagardens.com. You can also email me at yabuzagardens@gmail.com. And again, the Twitter account is Grand High Priestess at Chief Kehlani 777. So that's ChiefKehlani, as in Nancy, I 777. Thank you so much for listening this evening, and we hope you have an awesome week centered in spirit. Right out with Maxwell. Ehow, Etsy Washitai, Shal Hamdulillah.
there'll be no remnants, no trace, no residual feelings within you. Then you won't remember me. Your face will be the reason I smile, but I will not see what I cannot have forever. I'll always love you. I hope you feel the same. When my affliction had to fill out my prescription from the way I'm a beast, I had to set you free.
Someone that is gonna love you. Someone.